Sports 360 AZ. Brad Sussmat, we partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. Jake Plummer joins us now, brought to you by Ameriprise Financial. Everyone has retirement questions. Ask Ameriprise Financial Advisor Jeremy Kitamura about the new Confident Retirement Approach. You can call Jeremy today and review all your wealth planning needs. Jeremy's office is in Scottsdale, Arizona, and he can be reached at 480-922-4216, 480-922-4216. Ameriprise Financial, Jake Plummer segment, a winning combination here on Sports 360 AZ. So yesterday, Jake, I'm playing at TPC Scottsdale. They just redid the whole course. I hear that Tiger is probably going to play this year. Last time he was here was 2001. Now, your Super Bowl week itinerary, if I get you into 16 or one of those corporate tents, are you coming to watch Tiger at the Open for one day with me?
Yeah, I'm down with that.
You're down with that?
Yeah, get me, as long as I can bring my brothers and my best friend with me, that'd be four total.
Four total.
I'm good.
Okay.
Yeah.
You need four.
Let's
Jake needs four total. Okay, and so Super Bowl week, do you have a better day? Okay, so like is Thursday, are you laid out on Thursday? Do you know what you're doing on Thursday yet?
I don't know yet. Stuff's kind of coming together right now, so you know it's kind of one of those things you wait and hear, see what's going on, and try to make a schedule. But I'm right now pretty wide open.
Okay, so you're gonna put down on your schedule Brad for Waste Management Open Tiger, right?
Okay.
All right. That's done. We'll take care of that. Now, have you ever played TPC Scottsdale?
Yeah, that's where the Phoenix Open's been for years. Correct.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so right out of college, I got the chance to play in that. It was, right as soon as the Rose Bowl was over and then back from the Senior Bowl and Shrine, and I got invited to play in it. Gosh, it was crazy. It was a lot of fun. My brother was my caddy, and as we pulled up to check in, they handed us a driver and say, thanks for coming. I said, what? Get a free driver? You know, get out of college when you need stuff and you don't have any money. Now I'm a professional, and getting all kinds of stuff for free, a new set of golf clubs from Mizuno, and it was a lot of fun. Definitely had a great time out there and met a lot of golfers. I wasn't a great golfer, but I had a great time, so great event.
Are you any good now?
Oh, I can hit it. I'm decent. I mean, as an ex-NFL quarterback, you got to be able to play golf, so I can hit it a little bit. The years living out in Arizona, I played a ton of golf, obviously, and not so much anymore. I mean, with kids and all, and I get out about 8-9 times a year, and anywhere from low 80s to high 90s. So you never know what the day will bring.
Yeah. So you and I can't play then because I'm in the high hundreds. That's just the way.
I just have fun. It's fun.
That's
all about getting three guys that you enjoy being around. My last round I played was with Jason Verdugo, Gus Farwell, and Frank Sanders out at Weco Paw Golf Course.
Wow.
I don't even know what my score was. I didn't even care. We were just having so much fun, and it's beautiful out there.
Yeah. Do you remember the round?
The round that I had?
Do you remember it? I mean, were you having that much fun that you remember it?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay. Just making sure.
I love that course. Yeah, I love that course. You know, I mean, just having fun being with a couple old ASU teammates and the old Arizona Cardinal teammate. And that's, to me, what golf's about, is being with the guys you choose to be in your foursome and having a good time. You know, it's a lot of things can make you mad in life. Why make golf one of them?
Well, I will tell you, walking into 16 yesterday, they already have the whole structure. It's a stadium now. It's fully enclosed. 16 is fully enclosed. So you walk through the tunnel, and you're standing. There's nobody there. And then you imagine 28,000 people on top of you as you're supposed to hit a shot. Now, you can tell me better than anybody. Playing in front of 75,000 fans or hitting a golf shot by yourself, I don't know which would be more pressure. But
hitting a golf shot, I can recall back when I played in that, it was real intense. Got the fans, where it's a pro-am, you know, so everybody was lined watching. But they needed to know, like, okay, pro, okay, those guys could hit pretty good. But the am part, that was me. You know, when the guy standing down, you know, basically right where if I just pushed the ball would just obliterate him, just standing there watching. And I'm like, that was nerve-wracking because the possibility of actually, like, maybe maiming or killing somebody with a golf ball was not something I wanted to do during the pro-am. So I'd much rather be on the field in front of 75,000.
I don't know if it makes you feel any better. There's one year where Gonzo was there with Mickelson in the Pro-Am, and he hit a line. He's not good at all. I mean, I think I'm bad. Luis hit a couple line drive ropes into the crowd. I'm thinking he's going to kill somebody. And he's just groaning as he hits it. Like, you can't even yell, look out. It's just, please evacuate the area because this guy is brutal. So
yeah, well, you know, the silence, too. Everybody gets quiet, and all of a sudden you're like, what are they doing? Why are they quiet? I wanted them to cheer. You know, I would rather have them making noise and put me in my own environment. That way I could just go out and do it. But, yeah, that's a lot of fun. I played an alternating shot deal, too, a challenge. And Mickelson and Bill Russell was out there, Billy Crystal. And had a couple great times out there at the Scottsdale course. I had a great time. I'd love to go out there again.
All right. So we'll take care of that. We'll make it happen.
All right.
All right. So now let's switch over to – I'll get to the playoffs in a second. Did you see the front page Wall Street Journal story about Oregon football coaches not yelling as part of their coaching?
I didn't see that.
All right. So, and it just came out last night. So Oregon coach Mark Helfrich has said that his staff, they've ditched the age-old technique of screaming at players to motivate them. Instead, they found a way to do it that is, as he said, quote, "It's not about who can scream the loudest. We have excellent specialists in their field, great leaders of young men that need to teach guys what to do, to show them and tell them and find a way to bring that home. Hopefully way more talking than yelling. When you put your arm around a guy and say, this is how it could be done better," Marcus Mariota said, "those guys already understand that they did wrong. We don't need to be yelled at."
Yeah.
Okay. So completely different out of the box way of what football players, or even from myself, from a media standpoint, have come to expect. I know you haven't seen the story. It's just fresh out there. Do you have some thoughts on that approach?
Well, I think it's a great approach if you got the right players, you know, the right players that are responsible, mature, and come out prepared to practice and ready to go. And you also, as a coach, need to know your players. And I always preach this, that a coach can coach and win a championship, but how good is that coach when he's got a whole new slate of players and he has to coach them up and find what they can do good and put them in situations to do well? And so, you know, it depends on the coach. Some coaches prefer to yell and motivate that way, but I know that it's been going on a long time. This isn't some new revelation. I mean, I've had coaches that have been extremely calm, and I mean, Mark Trestman was a guy, he never yelled out there on the field. He was very thoughtful in what he said. He coached you. He would come and look at you and see in your eyes if there was confusion or if you knew what you were doing, and then he wouldn't be repetitive and say, you know, that ball needs to be a foot up. Like, as soon as it leaves my hand, I know if it's accurate or not. You don't need to come tell me, you know, we need to bring that ball up 10 inches. And that's what, you know, here in Denver got a little bit intense is during practice, was everything was analyzed immediately right after it. So it wasn't like, hey, I could just relax and go watch the film afterwards and then coach myself, but everything was overanalyzed and overcoached. So, you know, it's good to hear that. And the reason probably why they're having success, it puts it on the players to you know, be on top of one another and make sure they know what they're doing. And then coaches don't have to lose their voices out there screaming every day.
Anybody ever just rip you a new one, just yelled at you like you couldn't believe?
You know, I more times than not, it was behind closed doors when something like that would happen. Not so much out front of the team, because, you know, as a quarterback, the last thing a coach wants to do, if he has to avoid doing, is to belittle or berate his quarterback. Because, you know, if you get that going, you don't know how to be or react. But there were plenty of times where, you know, coach would have words for me. And, you know me, Brad, I wasn't one to just kind of nod my head. I mean,
You fired back. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and that to me is you got to find the right coach that can coach a player like me, or a player with a lot of passion and a lot of energy, because it's not always going to be peachy and clean and everything. It's going to get intense at times. And when you can find a coach that can get intense in that moment, still coach and understand it's that moment that brings out the player's competitiveness and the coach, get through that, you become a better team, you become a better player, and even better person. So there were plenty of opportunities and times where, you know, I was yelled at, but, you know, that all, you know, you tend not to dwell on those moments.
Sure, sure. Talking with Jake Plummer, just one last thought on this story, and I'll just give you a little bit more, because I think you and Nick Aliotti have worked together at the Pac-12 Network, right?
You know what? He's usually we haven't, but he comes in and he does the same thing I do. So when I'm there, he's not there.
Got it.
Yeah. So sounds like a great guy, great coach.
So Nick said in this article, I would raise my voice at times. I used to like kids that you could get after and really coach hard, but society has changed. Aliotti said when he got there, he was one coach, but when he left after the 2012 season, he rarely shouted because players no longer responded to such treatment. Okay, Chip Kelly called it the horizontal leadership structure at Oregon. So, you know, some big fancy term that Chip Kelly termed, and then hand over to Mark Helfrich. I don't know. It's like you said, this isn't any great revelation. I just think coming into the title game, they do seem like a group that doesn't get rattled. You know what I mean? I've never seen an Oregon team other than last year down in Tucson. There was something about last year's team that wasn't quite right, and Tucson just beat the tar out of them. But there's something coming into this title game. You look at Oregon and say they just seem real calm and peace.
Well, I think they embody their leader in Marcus Mariota. I mean, the kid, you know, you look at what he does out there on the field and how he is when he's in interviews, just watching him when a bad play happens. It's not a panic. He's just going back to the drawing board. Let's make something positive happen. And, you know, that really can happen on good quality teams, especially when you have the right mix of players. And you're reading there, the coaching is right where they're, like I said, they're putting it on the players to police themselves. And I know, you know, from my senior year at ASU, when we became more, the players involved in the other players' activities and actions, you know, the coaches could sit back and really focus on the game and coaching us to be better players. You see that for Oregon. I think it's just some great leadership. And, they're a calm team that plays really, really fast and causes a lot of stress for the opponent. So, you know, congrats to them on their style and everything. But like you said, it's not something just now and new and fresh. And I think the message it sends when you see a coach, you know, on the sideline with a big, fat, pouty face and he's screaming and throwing stuff. I mean, everybody's watching that. And you got to think, you know, I don't know. I always think if I was a coach, what would my mom think? What would my kids think? What would my wife think if I was making all these nasty, ugly faces just because of an incompletion? I mean, it's like, hey, move on, move forward.
Okay, except if you're Matthew Stafford last week against the Cowboys and the flag gets picked up. What do you do in that space?
Oh, have some choice words, probably be close to getting the flag, if not maybe being flagged for saying something to
mom wouldn't like it. Mom would not like your choice of words there, right?
No, I would have been extremely irate and had some choice words for that ref or the head ref and been extremely upset. But you know, you got to move on past that. I mean, as a team, you can't let that affect you. They still had a chance to go stop the Cowboys, so that play didn't lose the game for them. If that was the last play of the game, resulting in a touchdown, and it was a call, then okay, you know, have at it. But they still had a chance to win the game. So bad call, bad deal going on. I mean, it's America's team and all, but, whatever. I think that the Cowboys' run is going to be short-lived after this weekend.
So you've got Green Bay this weekend.
Yeah, they're too good. No one's stopping Aaron Rodgers.
Rodgers' ankle doesn't concern you.
It don't matter. It's not his ankle he throws the ball with.
I like that. Carolina at Seattle.
Man, those games have been a close, tight one. For all that they've faced the last 3 months. So I think, I love Russell Wilson. I enjoy watching Cam Newton play. I think Seattle wins that one for sure. They're just they're too strong. The game will be close until about in the middle of the third quarter.
Ravens have won the last two times in the playoffs at Foxborough. Do they make it three in a row?
Yep, three in a row. Flacco's playing unbelievable. Gary Kubiak has that offense rolling. Their defense is confident. They don't care about Tom Brady and the Patriots. In fact, they probably cannot stand Tom Brady and the Patriots. So I see them going in there and taking that one.
Andrew Luck is 0-2 in the postseason. Does he go to 0-3 at Denver?
I ruffled a lot of feathers and went the other way on this because of Andrew Luck. I think that the Colts come in here and learn from their mistakes earlier in the year and pull out a tough win against the Broncos because of Andrew Luck. The kid's just amazing. I would take him over any quarterback in the game right now.
And you didn't have to put a for sale sign out in front of your house after that statement in Colorado.
Hey, I get it. The fans, they love it because I tell them the truth. I don't just sugarcoat it. You know, hey, I have a feeling, and it's not that I don't like the Broncos and want them to win. I just think that the Colts have more motivation, and they have a kid that has a beard neck beard that's ferocious, then he's going to come in here and stay warm with his neck beard and take it to him.
Last question, I'll let you go off this. So Kurt Warner, it comes out, is going to work with Colin Kaepernick in this offseason. Have you been approached about stuff like this as well? And if not, what would you tell Kaepernick yourself?
You know, I haven't been approached. There's been a couple times opportunities come up, but I think it's an awesome move. Anytime you get a chance to work with a veteran QB that had mass, you know, a lot of success, came out of nowhere, was kind of not, you know, bagging groceries prior to playing in the NFL. I mean, the guy's been through adversity and never given up, and Kurt Warner could read defenses and anticipate and throw the ball way before a guy was open, and I think all of that he can hopefully help Kaepernick kind of understand. And, you know, Kaepernick's got tons of talent. What he needs to learn to do is mesh that talent and off-the-cuff improvisational plays, mesh that well with being in the pocket and changing maybe a little bit of his throws so that he's not flinging it all the time. I mean, he really just lets it go, you know. When you watch him throw the ball, he throws bullets. So working on a little few different releases maybe might help him, but I think it's a great move. Obviously, to be in the desert down where it's warm and working with a guy like Kurt Warner, who's just a class act.
All right. 4 for Jake. I'll talk to you next week, if not sooner, about this. We'll firm it up, all right?
All right, Brad. Sounds good.
See ya. Jake Plummer for a couple of minutes. Always good to catch up with Jake, brought to you by Ameriprise Financial. Everyone has retirement questions. Ask Ameriprise Financial Advisor Jeremy Kitamura about planning for a more confident retirement. Jeremy's office is in Scottsdale, Arizona. He can be reached at 480-922-4216. 480-922-4216. Jeremy Kitamura, Jake Plummer, Sports 360 AZ. That is a winning combination. On the other side, there's some news that has come out about sponsorship here in the Valley. It's a little random around the Cubs. A little further news on tonight's matchup. I want to talk about what's on my mind around U of A, because I want to see a little bit more in the NFL playoffs, too. In about 15 minutes, Rick Gosling, Dallas Morning News Cowboy Insider, Talk of Fame Radio Network, nobody better than Goose to talk about Cowboys. That's coming up in about 15 minutes. I'm Brad Sussmatt.